Thank the Lord for that message. And I'm so thankful that Brother Alec, your son, was able to be here last Sunday and Sunday night with the church. Nelda and I got to hear him on the internet, and we enjoyed it immensely. And we appreciate the message our brother has brought us tonight on this dear sister who did what she could. And Jesus said in Mark 14 and verse 8, she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body unto the burying. So there was a reason why she was anointing his body, preparing it for the burying. And I think it's very significant to notice later in this book, in the last chapter of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 1, and when the Sabbath was come, what was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. So they went to anoint his body, but it was too late. This sister in Mark 14 had already taken care of that. Isn't that a beautiful prophecy, providential provision of God, that this dear sister had come early to anoint his body? So that was taken care of. And she did what she could. And our brothers encouraged us tonight to do what we can. And it's helpful to know what you can do and what you can't do. Too many people spend a lot of time trying to do what they can't do, and that is save sinners for heaven, and don't have time left to do what they can do. We cannot save anybody for heaven, and we'd be wasting our time in order to do that. This evening, I want to call your attention to a passage in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'd like to notice with you, beginning in verse 42. I endeavored to preach some this morning on this lesson. It's about the shepherd boy David facing the great giant Goliath. And in my mind, I see Goliath, the giant, representing the devil, who is an enemy to all of us. How many of y'all really believe there is a devil, a personality called the devil? Some people believe it's just an influence, but the Bible makes it clear that there is a person, and he is the evil one, the devil. And I believe Goliath in this lesson represents the devil himself, who is an enemy to all of us. Now, when David was sent down to the battle, he was too young to be a soldier in the army, but his father did send him down there with refreshments for his older brothers who were in the army. And when David got down to where the army was, he saw this giant coming out and challenging the army of Israel. You send me a man and we'll do battle one against the other. And Israel's army was frightened because of this giant. And David heard all of this. And David, not living by fear, but by faith in God, asked the question, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? But Goliath's tactic was to scare them. Let's notice in verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. Now, ordinarily, by nature, David, a young shepherd boy, would have been frightened. He would have been terrorized by this giant, saying, I'll just feed you to the fowls of the air. You come here, and I'll kill you and feed you to the animals. And that's what Satan would like to do to all of us. He wants us to live in fear. Fear, beloved friends, the fear of man brings a snare. The Bible says fear hath torment. And when you and I are constantly living in fear of what could happen, what might happen, all the dangers and troubles in this world, and there's a lot of trouble in our world tonight. I read recently about a story about a man who was shipwrecked, and he'd been shipwrecked, been lost at sea for about a year by himself on this island. And a vessel was coming by, and this man, this shipwrecked man, built a fire, and the smoke went up, and the ship saw the smoke and assumed that this was the man who had been shipwrecked. So the captain of the ship sent a little boat to the island to speak to the man who had been shipwrecked. And this officer on the little boat said, I have been told by the captain to give you the newspapers from the last year that you have been on this island. And the captain wants you to read these newspapers and see if you still want to be rescued. Would y'all want to come back to a world full of all kinds of trouble and trial? Well, I want to tell you, our world is full of it on every side. But you and I, as the children of God, can be just like David was. The shepherd boy David. You say, now old people need to have this kind of faith. Well, I want to tell you, David had it as a young boy. He had faith in God. And that roaring giant coming out there threatening him and saying, I'll feed your flesh to the wild animals. That didn't scare David. You know why? Because David's faith was in God. So much so that he didn't fear the giant. Now, beloved, you and I have an enemy. Jesus said the thief, that's the devil, our giant, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He would like to chew us up and spit us out. But I want to remind all of you tonight, David's God is still on the throne. How many of y'all believe that? Amen. And he's your God as much as he was David's God. And he's just as able to help us as he was to help David. So let's read now in verse 45. Then said David unto the Philistine. What do y'all think David said to the giant? Well, we don't have to guess. I'm going to read it to you. Verse 45, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Now listen to what David said. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know. Listen, that all the earth may know, from the rivers to the ends of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Let me tell you, beloved, the faith that this young David displayed here is the kind of faith I want to live by. I don't want to live in fear of Satan, the world, or the flesh. I know I'm no match for them, just as David was no match for this giant in himself. But David's faith was in the living God. And I want to just say to you all tonight, David said that that all the earth may know. Know what? That there is a God in Israel. And I want y'all to know there's a God at Cool Springs Church tonight. How many of y'all believe that? Satan's been trying to destroy this church since 1809. I wasn't around then, but I can guarantee you the devil was trying his best to destroy the founding members of this church in 1809. Y'all think the devil just left them alone? No. He was on the job. And I do know about a number of times in the history of this church when there was trouble and division and Satan was trying his best to destroy this church. But there was a God in Cool Springs Church who was protecting the church and making a way for the church. And I want to just tell y'all tonight, there's a God where you live, at your household. Amen. Your family is like every other family. You're probably going through some trials. You're dealing with some difficulties. I mentioned this morning some of the giants that God's children face in this world. We can face disease. I mean, a lot of people are suffering from sickness, serious illness, like our sister Ernestine. Oh, she lived by faith, didn't she? She faced her giant, and God was with her and blessed her. You may be facing the giant of financial difficulties. You know, that can be rough. When the money runs out before the bills run out, and you don't have a way of making more money right now, and your job is in jeopardy, that can be a giant. I've known a lot of people in my 60 years of pastoring that struggled financially. Their health broke and their jobs were in jeopardy. And maybe they were let go or whatever. And that's a giant, beloved friends. Let me tell you, if you've got enough money tonight to make ends meet, you're blessed. A lot of people struggle financially with, that's a giant. But even those that are struggling financially need to know there's a God in heaven that can help them, can make a way for them, that can provide for them, can make a way where there's no way. How many of y'all, I've heard Brother Wynn and Sister Laura give their testimony about how God provided for them some little trampoline that they sold and got up enough money to buy gasoline. You know, our God is on the throne tonight. Amen. And if you're facing a giant, and we all are in one way or another, maybe you're facing depression. Maybe you're facing some kind of family quarrel that hasn't been resolved yet. You might be facing discouragement. You might be battling alcohol or drugs. Those are giants. But I want to tell you, at all of these AA meetings and AA meetings where I've been with friends of mine that have been battling addictions to chemicals, they all get up and the first thing they say, I am John Doe and I'm an alcoholic. or I'm a drug addict. They acknowledge their weakness. But then they go on to talk about God. And I want to tell you, the men who started AA were men who believed in the God of this Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And let me tell you, beloved, AA has done more to help alcoholics than anything else in this world. If you've never been to an AA meeting, I hope you never need to go. But if you ever just want to be built up or encouraged, go to one. Those people don't judge one another. They love one another. They're there to help one another and acknowledge their dependence on an independent God. And if you've got somebody in your family struggling with alcohol or drugs, oh, those are giants to be dealt with. And listen, beloved, God, there's a God there that can help. Do y'all believe that tonight? I believe it with all my heart and all my soul. Maybe you're dealing with lust. You have a weakness in that area and you need help. I want you to know God can help you to overcome your lust, your jealousy. You know, He can help you in every way imaginable. Children who are in school and having to deal with bullies. I want to tell the children, God can help you overcome the bullies. Thank y'all. We're talking about a God tonight who is real. He's present. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think of in this life. And old age is a giant. Can I get a witness from anybody? Brother Wayne's nodding. Some of y'all don't have a clue. But I can tell you, old age is a giant. And the road to old age is bumpy. But there's a God in Israel who helps to take care of the old folks. Is that not right? I believe it with all my heart. Brother Wynn said you saw a sister 103 years of age. You know, and she's at church. That's sounds to me like God is taking care of her, making... I read the other day about the oldest lady, I think, in the country right now. She's 115. And somebody asked her the secret to a long life. She said, I'll tell you, I don't argue with anybody. I just listen, and then I go on and do what I want. You know, that's a good recipe for life. It don't go through life arguing and fussing. But I want to tell you, God can take care of the old folks. When my father fell off the porch down the street here and started bleeding internally that night, and Mama and Franklin rushed him to Dublin to the old Claxton Hospital, and Dr. Bell worked on him all night long, and God spared his life. And God began to provide for my dad. He didn't have Social Security, but you know what? The church people just came in from Camp Creek and Fort Valley and Trail Branch and all the churches and helped my mama to meet our financial needs. I was just 10 years of age. God took care. God made a way. I believe in a God tonight that loves us. If you ever question His love, look yonder to Calvary and see what He gave to save us. And I want to tell you all tonight, He's still right there with us. And little David, the shepherd boy, was not intimidated. He remembered that God had delivered a lion into his hand and a bear into his hand. He said, there is a God in Israel, and I want the whole world to know it. Wow. What a God we do have. I mentioned today at Oak Grove that I am my biggest problem. When I look in the mirror in the morning, there he is. And somebody questioned that today, and I said, look, it's me that doesn't get out and exercise like I ought to. It's me that's eating all this junk. Nobody's forcing me to do it. Right? It's me that neglects prayer. It's me that neglects studying the Bible. I can't blame that on any of y'all. It's me. But with God's help, I can overcome the flesh, which is my constant enemy. And the world around us and the devil himself. I want y'all to know there's a God in Israel, and he is helping us and upholding us in a mighty way in this broken world. We can't blame the devil. He's on the job. Some of y'all are old enough to remember Flip Wilson. You remember he said, "The devil made me do it." I mean, that was a popular and a lot of us liked it because, man, that got me off the hook. The devil made me do it. And I remember a black preacher said, "No, sir, the devil can't make you do anything. He just suggests." But, brother, he does suggest a lot of things, doesn't he? But he can't make us do anything. There's a God in heaven that gives us strength for the battles of life. And so I just tell you, I'm thrilled to know there's a God in America. What about y'all? Amen. This country's got a lot of problems. Major, gigantic problems. Pitiful that young Jewish couple was shot down in cold blood in Washington, D.C. this week. For a long time in Europe's capitals, Jews have been in danger. It's even happening here in our country now. There's so much danger all around us. And I can tell you, beloved, the God of our fathers is still on the throne. And you and I need to be calling out to him. And I want everybody to leave here tonight knowing God loves you and he'll care for you. His eyes on the sparrow, and his eyes on you. Thank you all for your good attention this evening.